There's a battle over American history, especially related to issues like slavery. And is America inherently racist? Was it always racist? Is that in our DNA? We're going to talk about this right now with Charles Love, who is a part of 1776 Unites. 1776 Unites is a group founded by Bob Woodson, and the goal was to counterattack the 1619 Project, which postulates that America began not in 1776, but rather in 1619 when the first African-American slaves were brought over. Well, they weren't American, they were just African slaves. And so we're going to talk about that right now with Charles Love. He's the executive director of Seeking Educational Excellence, and he has a book coming out soon called Race Crazy. He has a website, 1619exposed.com, but there's also the charleslove.com website. I'm Jerry Newcomb. This is Vocal Point. And Charles Love, it's great to have you on the program. Thank you so much for joining us.
Well, thanks for having me. It was such a glorious introduction.
Sure. First of all, let me just step back from the microphone and just ask you to go ahead and introduce yourself and explain how you got interested in American history and why you decided to join with 1776 Unites. What was it about the 1619 Project that obviously caused you to say, hey, wait a minute, what's going on here?
Well, going to that project, I would have to say that the initial problems were some of what you hear a lot of historians talk about that is factually inaccurate, and that's true. And in more ways than just they talk about, most of the time they point out the fact that the project, Nicole Hannah-Jones, said that the reason, well, not only the year of our founding, which was skewed, but also the reason why we fought the Revolutionary War was because we wanted to own slaves and those pesky British weren't going to allow us to do it.
Oh, my goodness.
But, you know, you can have your views, but you can't just create your own facts. And just look it up on your own, and you'll find that while we're arguing 1776 or 1619, Britain didn't free slaves until 1833. So it's not like they couldn't hold slaves where they were. So you start to find that in other points of either flat-out misinformation or, you know, their skewed take on it. So you might take a factual piece of information and then we can all agree that it's true, and then what you glean from it is not necessarily what would logically follow. So I noticed stuff like that up front, but the bigger thing was the fact that they were trying to create a narrative that would fit into whatever they believe. So we're going to change history to fit into what we think about the country, which is what you mentioned. Is the country inherently racist? Which there's several ways that you can point out lots of bad things, but also a lot of ways you can prove that the country is not inherently racist.
And your organization, Seeking Educational Excellence, tell us about that.
Yeah, well, we started a couple years before this is, you know, before we descended into the abyss. So the goal, you know, we had to start over again because the goal was simply to focus on STEM and not, you know, social justice in academia. So basically saying we have problems, racism, income, whatever the case may be. But if we truly want solutions, which is the way I approach all the conversations I have, if you want solutions, you have to get to the root of the problem. And what we found was most people, if they're looking at it from a logical premise, truly want to help, will attest to the fact that there are very few, if any, unemployed black doctors, lawyers, engineers, and accountants, even in this quote-unquote racist country. So if we can agree on that, wouldn't it be better to put our energy into these things, pushing kids forward academically and getting them to where they need to be to minimize the impact of all this racism we're talking about? But instead, we're splitting people up by race and telling them, you owe me because of this, or you need to do this. So we started to say, let's focus on what matters, STEM, teaching kids critical thinking skills, that kind of thing. So we're going down that road, trying to make the progress, and then the last 18 months, which you know has happened. And so now we're starting at a deficit. So instead of going forward, we have to, before we can get people to focus on STEM, we have to get them to stop thinking they have to teach black people differently because blacks have different minds and they think the same. It's almost like you take these experiments, these clearly racist experiments from the 1800s, some of which they speak about in the 1619 Project, which are true, but it's now we're not changing them and trying to disprove them by saying that was overtly racist. We're, the people who are supposedly today's social justice warriors have adopted them, and now they're using them to claim that's the only way that they can end racism. It's lunacy.
This is amazing. Okay, first of all, define STEM just real fast, and I'm going to ask you to reiterate that point about unemployed doctors and lawyers, because I think this is so worthy of grasping. But so first question, yes. STEM, that's what, the scientific, technological?
Science, technology, engineering, and math.
Okay.
So it's the hard sciences, right? You know, what we tend to do is we needed more blacks. We wanted more blacks to be successful and go to school. So we made government programs to make it easier because blacks tended to have more, economic barriers to get into college, which at the point most people left and right thought was good. But what we don't look like, what underlies that step, and back to solutions, of course, is that so you have more black students in the college, but then because you didn't prep them for STEM, they get there and say, I want to be a doctor, and they have that major, and then they don't get the grades they need to, and you don't want to lose the student. So you push them into shifting their majors. So you'll find a lot of students over the last 15 to 20, 25 years would go to school to be an engineer, doctor, or lawyer, and they come out with a social sciences degree. And it's not to knock that degree if that's what they wanted, but they were shipped. So now they can feel good about themselves and say, look, we let these black kids go through. We got graduates, but they don't have the degrees in these hard sciences. But then we look, lo and behold, now we look in situations where we're counting race again. And we'll say, this country's racist. You want proof? There's not enough black doctors. There's not enough black lawyers. Well, you never focused on STEM when they were 9. So how are they ever going to do it when they were 29? And so my point is, back to the other part you wanted me to reiterate.
Yeah.
I asked everybody I know. I said, think of all the black people you know. Now eliminate all the others and only think of the ones who have letters next to their name. You got them in your mind? They say yes. How many of them are unemployed? I've been asking this question for over 2 years, and I've yet to have somebody say they know someone. There is no unemployment amongst black accountants or engineers. So regardless of, and I'm not arguing against racism. I'm simply saying that while you're focused on let me stop the white guy from being racist, you could easily just say all the white people are racist, but if I get Kevin a degree in accounting, they may not like him, but they'll hire him. Sounds like I got a better path to solutions than they do.
Wow. Boy, that's so true. You know, another thing, too, Dr. Carol Swain, are you familiar with her?
Of course. Okay. Another scholar, 1776 phenomenal. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And she's a former law professor at Vanderbilt, and she also taught at Princeton. And anyway, she said one of the things about the this whole 1619 project that really disturbs her is if you teach kids that racism, that America is inherently racist, in effect, what you're doing is you're putting limitations in their own mind. You can't succeed because you're black and you live in America, which is systemically racist. So tough luck, buddy. There's nothing you can do about it. In other words, it limits what the children themselves, what the children can achieve. And that's awful.
Oh, without a doubt. Here's a clearer point to make. Most people who are over 40 and black will attest to you, used to hear it all the time. So let's assume back then the country, many people in the country were overtly racist, and now we're claiming that they're still racist. What's the difference? The difference is when I was 12, my parents would say, there's people in this country who won't like you just because you're black. So what did they say? We've all heard it before. So you have to work twice as hard to get to where you want to be. Today's kids who are 12, parents are saying, there's people out there who are racist against you. So you can try, but if you fail, it's not your fault. You see the subtle difference? Neither one is saying everybody's racist. They're both saying that there's an obstacle in front of you. But one of them is saying, but boy, you better not fail. Go work twice as hard. The other one is giving them an out, saying, I'm not telling you to fail, but if you fail, it's not your fault.
Wow, that's a great point. Wow. So how do we get out of this mess, out of this abyss, as you called it earlier?
Well, I think that unfortunately, I get why they're fighting in all different ways. It's a difficult fight, so you have to try everything that you can. So if you're talking about banning CRT and lawsuits, try it if you want. But you're not, just understand, you're not going to win this unless you win back the culture. That's why most of my writings and most of my conversations focus on two things, the culture and education. You got to catch people while they're young. You have to get more people into STEM. You have to get people in, you know, not just STEM, but get them, you know, comfortable in the areas that stereotypically blacks don't do. So, you know, playing chess and playing hockey and doing different kinds of things. Don't stay in your all black bubble and then think, say, hey, white people aren't comfortable around me when you're avoiding them like the plague. So that's how you get to change the culture, by having conversations and having that racist see different black people, having closed-minded black people seeing other people there, and education. Because what we're doing, what conservatives did so poorly, is they abdicated their responsibility when schools started to shift left 20 years ago, 30 years ago, and they said, well, we don't want to deal with this. The ones who couldn't afford it, went to private school, went away, and we just let it fester. So now what you have is an education system that's been run for 20 years strictly by people with one viewpoint, and there's no alternate viewpoint. So it doesn't matter what you do with laws, X, Y, and all these other things. The bottom line is, if you don't get into the muck of what's going on in education, you're going to create generation after generation of very intelligent people who have been, whose minds have been molded in a skewed fashion. So your next judge, lawyer, entertainment mogul, what have you, will all have a negative view of the country. So it doesn't matter what you pass, because the guy who's going to be on the court making that decision has that worldview or that American negative view. The guy who's going to be running the next, you know, company or the next president is going to have that view. So unless you change those kids going forward, the next generation of 30-year-olds for the next two or three generations are going to have are going to alter the country, because they're going to think they're helping and they won't be.
All right, talk about the battle over historical figures like George Washington, Abraham Lincoln, Thomas Jefferson. In times past, these guys were great heroes, and now, you know, they're not, at least in some circles. It's amazing.
Right. Well, I often say, I love history. The people who are arguing the race-based progressive racism version of history, I won't call it CRT because they get mad, whatever the label is. But whoever's fighting that, the issue isn't even really that they want to point out the ugly side of America, because it's true and you can show it. They don't want to say anything positive. So, of course, if all I give you is the negative and no positive, and then I don't put that negative in context, you're going to grow up, like I said, that next, you know, 20 years from now, you're going to have a 30-year-old law grad from Harvard who went to a top school who's really smart, thinking that slavery only existed in America, or thinking that, you know, the income inequality thing is only American, not realizing that the poor in America are living far and away better than the poor in most countries. But they won't know that, because no one's teaching that. They're going to teach you that Cuba's great. They're going to teach you that Venezuela's great. They're going to teach you that Mao was a socialist hero. So just give me context is all I'm asking for. I can't beat back everything you believe, but give me context and teach both sides. As far as the historic figures, they need to keep them up and explain whatever good and bad you want to. But then what are you going to do, change every street? You have to change Washington, D.C. You can't tear down Washington statue and still have the capital of the country be Washington, D.C., Washington State, all the places that are named after Jackson. So you take down his statue, but you still have Jackson, Mississippi, and Jacksonville. It's silly.
Yeah, and in some ways, aren't the statues reminders of our past, regardless, you know, good, bad, or ugly, and not that the ugly should be, you know, just given a pass or whatever. We should recognize that. But as you said earlier, we shouldn't make up new facts. Well, we have about 40 seconds left. What do you want to say in conclusion?
Well, I would quickly say that the statues don't mean that they're honoring them. It's a memory. So because it's there, doesn't mean it's honoring. And I want to thank you for having me on. I want people to go to thecharleslove.com and so they can check out the podcast, the radio program, the Cut the Bull podcast, and buy the upcoming book. It's going to be educational, Race Crazy, 1619 BLM and the Progressive Racism Movement.
Charles Love, thanks so much for being with us. I appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.